Our Bible reading today is 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11, and it will be read by Maxine Perry. Maxine, over to you for our reading.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Maxine, very much. Before our talk, we're going to have a meditation. Denise will play and I will use some Bible verses and thoughts to help us think about listening to God, growing in wisdom and putting his word into practice. In our meditation today, we're going to focus on the wisdom of God. The Proverbs tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, recognizing how great and marvelous God is. So in this first section, just take a moment to reflect on the majesty, the greatness, the wonder of who God is. In this season, we sometimes sing, O come, Emmanuel. And as Jesus enters our world, he comes to show us God's wisdom, God's way of working. And as he speaks about wisdom, he tells us that if we are to be wise, we have to not only just hear the word of God, but put it into practice. Because as we do that, we build a foundation on the Lord Jesus. Our lives are rooted, centered on him. And as we put the word into practice, so when the storms of life come, our faith is shown to be true and real. This year, all of us have faced storms at times. But those storms have revealed the truth that our faith is strong, centered on Jesus. Take a moment to thank God for Jesus coming and revealing the wisdom of God. James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What a glorious promise that as we don't see things God's ways always, if we come to God and say, Lord, give me the wisdom to see things as you see them, to put your word into practice in my life, God will give generously to us, answering our pleas without finding fault, not going, well, if you'd only got this right, then I'd do it. God generously offers to pour his wisdom into our hearts and minds. So today, as we engage with his word, let's pray that God will generously give us wisdom so that we will put what we learn into practice. Father God, we thank you that we can ask you for your wisdom to be poured into our minds and hearts, and that we know you promise to give your wisdom generously to us without finding fault. Father, pour your wisdom into us so that when we hear your word, we won't just listen, we will receive and put it into practice in our day-to-day lives. Lord God, in the days, weeks, months ahead, pour your wisdom into our lives. In Jesus' name, Emmanuel with us, we pray that he would be glorified. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, help us not to be just hearers of your word, but those who put it into practice. In Jesus' name, Amen. When we lived in London, we sometimes visited Oxford Street, and by the tube there was a man who stood there with a placard, "Behold, the end of the world is nigh." People's reactions to him varied. Some laughed and sneered. Some desperately tried to ignore him. Some didn't even notice he was there. He was just part of the furniture. Some might just wonder, I guess, why he stood there with such a message, facing laughter, ridicule, being ignored. It's so easy, isn't it, to lose any idea that the end of the world is nigh, that the world could come to an end, that God could say, that's it. I guess this year, perhaps, we've had more thoughts about that sort of thing. And we too may be a bit embarrassed by that billboard man in Oxford Street. Or maybe we think, not yet, Lord, I don't think I'm ready. I haven't sorted out my life. I haven't dealt with this sin. I haven't come out from COVID in any way, and I'd like to do that before you return. But that wasn't the only problems the Thessalonians had with Christ's return. Paul, the realistic and caring Christian pastor, knows that the Christian at Thessalonica were apprehensive on another account. Were they ready for it? We saw last week that they were worried about those who had died, but they were also worried for themselves. Were they ready? How would they stand before Jesus when he returned? Now, I don't think that's just a first century problem. I think sometimes Christians, even those with some maturity, wonder and think. So we're going to look first at concerns at the return, verses 1 to 3. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The Thessalonians worried about Jesus' return, and their reasons for doing so are clear. For these three verses tell us they knew that there were things they could not know, and they knew that there were things they couldn't do. They knew they could not know the date of Jesus' return. They knew they could not know how exactly, or know exactly when it would be. It's easy to prepare for something if you know it's going to happen. We pray for Christmas Day, in normally anyway, but we do still, knowing the date. The Thessalonians knew they couldn't know when Jesus would return, so they couldn't plan to be ready for it. That was the first cause of their anxiety. They knew they did not know the date of the return, and they weren't 100% sure they'd be ready for it. Secondly, they knew it would be a day of destruction, a day of judgment. Paul explains this to them by explaining that the day of return was the day of the Lord, a day that Amos the prophet had spoken of in Amos 5, 18 to 20. And Amos there points out that the day of the Lord will be one of judgment, a day when people will face destruction, the loss of contact with God, of life. Banishment, exile, away from the presence of God. The Thessalonians, you see, knew this day would be a day of judgment. And what that concerned them. Would they stand? How could they be sure? What assurance did they have? Added to this, they knew that destruction would be unexpected. Paul makes this clear by showing that people would be going about their normal things, completely unaware of the danger they were in, and then imagine. Here comes. Well, people are saying peace and safety. You see, they think they're all right. Destruction will come on them as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And actually, the real danger is that this cannot be avoided. If you're a pregnant woman, you have to have labour pains when you come to full term. What Paul says is, look, or what the Corinthians recognize is that there are some things that they're worried about. This day will be unexpected. The day will be a day of destruction. The day will come when they're not expecting it, when they're going about their normal business. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? Robbers don't suddenly put a note through your door and say, by the way, I'm going to rob you in 3 days' time. It'd be so helpful if they did, because then we'd be ready for it. The Thessalonians knew that the return of Jesus would be unexpected. Would they be ready? Would they be saying peace and security? They knew they didn't know the date. They knew they did know it would be a day of destruction and an unexpected day. And they knew it was certain. That's the point, as I said, of the pregnant woman illustration. None of us, as he told last week, with the trumpet sound and everything, will escape this day. So how is Paul going to address their concerns? It's really important that he does, and that's what he does in verses 4 to 9. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul explains that we can be ready for Jesus' return. We need not be taken by surprise. We don't have to be alarmed if we are, spiritually speaking, in the light. Now, there are two reasons we can be taken by surprise by Jesus' return. Because the event is unexpected, because we are asleep, that is, spiritually in the dark. Cannot do anything about the first, We don't know when it's coming, but we can do a lot about the second. We cannot know the date of Jesus' return, but we can be ready for it by being alert and awake. Paul wants to give the Thessalonians and us confidence that we can be ready for Jesus' return. And he does it by contrast. He says that there are basically two groups of people. Burglars surprise people because they come at night when people are asleep or out cold drunk. But you won't be decided if the light is on if you're alert and you're self-controlled. Just so with the coming of Jesus. Some people won't be ready because they're in darkness, unprepared for his return. Those who belong to the light will not be taken by surprise. They will be ready for it. Vitally, we understand this, Paul says, because otherwise we won't know whether we're ready for Jesus' coming. If we're in the darkness about Jesus, if we don't believe in him, we won't be ready. But if we understand and follow Jesus, we are in the light. Paul assures his readers, they are brothers and sisters with him in the light. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness. So all Christians, all believers are in the light. So we're not surprised by his concern. We're not concerned by it. We're ready for it. Why? Verse 6, because we are alert and self-controlled or sober. He exhorts us to live as people of the day. Alert to the fact that Jesus can return any day. Alert to the fact that God calls us to live for him. I think there's a real danger that there are Christians who, in essence, are in their pajamas. They yawn through life. They are in the light, but they're asleep. Paul would be hopping mad. He longs for Christians who are alert, awake, sober, ready to be the people God wants them to be, ready to put the word of God into action, ready for the return of Jesus by displaying these attributes, verse 8. But since we belong today, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Paul comes back to the battle analogy and he says, we have to be, if we're going to be alert and awake, sober, self-controlled, we have to be those who are full of faith and love and the hope of salvation, loving Jesus and loving each other as he demands, having faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus, having hope, clear about the future, depending on God and his promises. Paul wants us to be what we are. He says to the Christians at Thessalonica, be what you are. You are children of light and children of the day. Because of that, live in the light of Jesus's return. Then you'll have no concerns that you're ready for it. We are people of light living in the light. So here is Paul's challenge to us today. Are we alert and self-controlled? Is it clear to those around you that you are a person of love and faith and hope? If you are, you won't be surprised by Jesus' return. Or are we actually a little sleepy, not displaying faith, love, and hope as we should? Be ready for the return of Jesus. Behave with daytime behaviour. Live as daytime people. I think this is challenging but exciting stuff. I can remember being challenged as a 21-year-old to have an eternal perspective, to live in the light of Jesus' return. Have I lived that out perfectly every day since? Absolutely not. But am I thankful that I was taught that and I've sought to hold on to it as much as I possibly can? They had concerns about Jesus' return. Paul answers those concerns by showing them how they can be ready for Jesus' return. But lastly, he tells them they can be confident at the return. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Paul has said that we should behave because of who we are. Now he tells us that we are who we are because of who God is. Paul makes two great statements about God and us. God did not appoint us to suffer destruction or anger. The destruction we deserved, God has rescued us from in Jesus. And it's this amazing picture that actually we will receive full salvation on that day through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our new body, we will be perfect as God wants us, intends us to be, fully human, fully us. Because we are rescued, even though we don't deserve that rescue, we can be confident that we will not face God's wrath. But verse 10 tells us he died for us so that whether we are alive or awake or asleep, now he's using them in the way he did in chapter 4 about those who died before Jesus returned and those who are still alive when Jesus returns. He says we may live together with him. So these two great truths, we're destined to live with Jesus and not to suffer God's righteous anger. Hold on to those two and we will be confident of Jesus' return, and that when we stand before him, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he has done for us, we will receive salvation, rescue, and in eternity with him. The ultimate reason why we can be confident rather than concerned about the day of the Lord lies not so much in who we are, though we are children of light, day and light, but in who God is. He is the giver of salvation and life. Vital that we have this clear. As soon as I look at my faith and see my failures, as soon as I look at my performance and see my problems, as soon as I look at my feelings and see my faithlessness, I will begin to worry what will happen when Jesus returns. As soon as I look at God and look at his graciousness and mercy, and look at God and see his gift of life to me, and look at God and see his guarantee of my eternal future, then I'll have confidence and be okay when Jesus returns. That I'll be okay when Jesus returns. The devil and our own sinful nature points us to look at us, and God says, look at me. And then you'll be confident. This is great news, which is why verse 11, Paul says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. So as we close, will you heed this amazing truth that because of Jesus, as we look forward to his return, we can be confident if we trust in him, that day will be a day of glory and rescue and salvation. But two, can we take on board Paul's teaching that you are children of the light and children of the day? So then, let us not be like others. Let us be awake and sober. Will you live each day in the light of Jesus' return so you will more and more be the person God wants you to be, more and more reflect the Lord Jesus? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the confidence that Paul instills to all who believe in you. Help us to live each day thinking of Jesus' return and so living as you would have us live. In Jesus' name, amen.